Here you are. BPMs high, sweat dripping, body moving, tongue panting. You're working hard, real hard, and you're thirsty. You need vitamins, nutrients for peak performance and energy. And your plants do too.
Aw,
I mean, just look at the little guy. Water-soluble plant food from Miracle-Gro is full of essential nutrients. Just a little scoop into your watering can and boom, instant feeding and bigger, more beautiful plants. It's kind of like a sports drink for your plants. You may have to suffer from heat, but your plants do not.
Hey everybody, welcome to Spanish Aquí Presents. It's Riza, me, Oscar. Tony is going to join us a little later on. He's stuck in traffic because that's a real thing now. Boy, what a whiplash was it back,
back
to go traffic to go back to traffic.
Back.
The one thing I did not miss from this pandemic. And how's everybody else doing?
I mean, listen, same answer I give every time. I'm sorry, listeners. You have to hear me say this every fucking time, but a bitch is sweaty and hot right now.
That should be your catchphrase.
I mean, I showed you guys. I was showing you guys not, okay, to be fair, I was kind of showing you guys my tetas earlier, but like through a white tank top. And like, I was showing.
But that's in now. I've seen a lot of that happening, at least in LA.
Yeah, but like, look at, can you guys see my sweat right now? Like,
no, I can see. Yeah. Like, it's glistening.
You know what? This, you flashing us, should be your catchphrase. Because you do it enough.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever. You guys are like my like brother, best friend, lover boys.
Sure. I'm fine with it. Yeah. So
yeah, but Dana.
Shaking my damn head.
It is hot. It's a lot going on.
Yeah.
But it feels like some days it gets really hot and then the next day it gets gloomy. So there's still a little bit of June gloom happening.
Yeah.
It's all over the place. What's happening?
I mean, it's, you know, I just came back from Miami. And when I was there with my boyfriend and like I was all excited. I have like these beach day plans and then I had like dinner plans in South Beach and like all these things. He like, usually like I'll be like, oh, fuck, I'll just cancel my reservations. I'm tired. No, they canceled two of my reservations, like stuff like they canceled on me because of the rain, because Tropical Storm Elsa.
Ah, that's right. Yeah. Elsa.
Yes. And it was hard for me not to think that my abuela Lala, Sylvia Elsa Bernhardt, my Lala, RIP, who just passed away this past year. I'm like, that's like when I saw that name, I was like, she wanted to just hang out with me while I was in Miami. That's how I was trying to have a positive spin on this.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it. But other than that, I'm like, it was a pretty good trip, but the weather definitely, like, I feel like I also came back here like a little like raspy and all nasty from the rain because I'm not used to it.
Por el cambio de clima.
Exacto. Y es que, you get on a plane and then it's AC and then it's rain and it's humid and then I get here and it's hot, but it's also like wind. I don't know.
Yeah.
Too much.
But also, definitely like the weather sucks here right now because I'm also sweaty all the time.
Yeah.
Show us.
But then I think about.
Show us your tetitas.
Oh.
Oscar.
But you know, I think about this a lot because this weekend I had friends from El Paso visiting.
Ooh.
El Paso is like fucking humid and hot as hell. And they were so like, I was walking in downtown LA with them. And I was like, oh my God, it's so hot. And they're like, actually, it's really great. There's wind. It's like not humid. It's like LA weather is fantastic. And I'm like, oh shit. You forget how bad other places have.
You get acclimated and you start complaining. Because I was also in Orlando and I was running in the morning and the runs were so much harder because I'm like breathing in all the hot, humid air. And I was like, why is it so hard? And it's that. And as soon as I came back here, it was like a breeze.
Isn't it so weird? That's always wild to me because I feel like at some point, like, I should just be used to it. The amount of times I travel back and forth, but it's like.
But it just show you que los humanos, they get used to whatever environment.
Mm-hmm. We are.
And then they forget.
Oh my gosh, am I a California girl?
Mm-hmm. You are.
I'm not.
You're 305. But
305
you're also
till I die.
305 plus 5.
Plus 5? Huh?
Oh my God, Carlos.
310 is a Los Angeles.
Yeah, he was doing the math. It was a math joke. It was a math / LA joke.
I mean, look at me. I mean, like, I was about to say Alejandro's the one that does the numbers for me. I can't do numbers.
Okay. The 305 and almost a 310 girl.
Yes, but okay. So speaking of weather.
Yeah.
Speaking of weather.
On the hour, every hour.
Yes. I have a pica. that I know that you two are going to be amazing in with a lot of information.
You're setting us up.
Okay. Because the thing is that I have never been to Disneyland.
What do you mean? What does that mean? Yeah. What does that mean you've never been to Disneyland?
I have.
Does that mean you've been to Disney World but not Disneyland?
So I've been to like Disney World, I think like only like 4 times in my life. And again, lived in Miami, but we were not the kind of family that would go there.
Uh-huh. Because like, what's the commute between Orlando and Miami?
4 hours. 5 hours.
No, it's like 6 hours. Like,
it's not close.
Because remember, I have a big family.
It's like going to San Francisco.
Yeah, and we were in a van. We have to stop. I mean, you guys know that I have to do pee-pee all the time. I had to stop all the time. So it becomes more like...
That's why it's 6 hours. But truly, to be fair, it's 5 hours.
It's 20 minutes.
If you go straight, it's a 5 hour drive.
Yeah. So I have been to Disney World. I'm also not a huge amusement park person. My favorite thing... Yeah, so my favorite thing, just to give you like a little like, you know, some stuff to work with for this.
Sure.
I don't think it's surprising. You guys know me. I love food. It's the fucking food. Like, there is one thing that I cannot stand paying like high prices on certain things on like food. But like, I will fucking pay whatever it is for like that Mickey Mouse ice cream, for like the like elephant ear thingies, like for the, I don't know.
What are you talking about?
I see these on the pictures. Ears? Okay. What? To be fair, you guys do not have elephant... You don't call them elephant ears. They're like the bread thing with the like sugar, white sprinkles.
Churros?
No. Coño, no. Yo sé lo que es churro.
To call churros elephant ears is hysterical to me.
No. People from Miami that have been to Santa's Enchanted Forest in Tropical Park...
I'm sorry. Say that again.
Santa's Enchanted Forest.
Oh, I think Jenny did a music video for that.
I am in that video. And you were in it. We did a parody of it and it got taken down, so we had to edit it anyways.
Oh,
so
like,
oh yeah. El viejo cubano that owns it, I don't think, was very happy with us telling him that that the elephant ears cost like $17.
Well, kudos for him for being on Instagram and like,
I mean, seriously, who would have known? But anyway. Back to Disneyland. I have never been. So now they have.
Clearly, because you thought that there would be the same amount of treats, the same treats that you would find at Santa's, whatever that place is.
Well, yeah, because everybody goes and they post really good food pictures and like ice cream stuff. And I don't know. So I want
to
know.
I'm not going to lie to you. There is some really good stuff, whether it's. Yes. Look at all
there
that.
There you go. Thank you. That is. What do you call
elephant? Disney does that. Eso parecen arepa.
Ay, pues, pero
Jordan
no son arepas.
Jordan showed some pictures, but it looks like arepas, no?
Yeah, yeah. So, like, when you listen to this episode, please, like, check out Google elephant ears. And then the Mickey Mouse ice cream, is that one just the plain?
Okay, just like a Klondike bar, but within the shape of Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, but, like, the one that they have there doesn't have the Mickey, it has the Mickey face on one side. And so
I think
the
I know
is,
what you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, when I was in elementary, middle school, my ice cream man, Pepito, he would always save me one for like, so I could get it because they would run out so quick and he would hide it for me because I would get it after sports. Anyways, guys, I like ice cream and food.
Okay.
Tell me what to do. I want to go. The tickets apparently are cheap. Like they just did a promotion. I don't know the specific thing of like, if you're a California resident, it's $89.
That's going to be gone for a long time. They need to make that money back. Anymore. When I was in Orlando.
They just announced it like 2 weeks ago or a week ago. Someone told me.
Okay,
wow,
that sounds like a scam. Well, no, because they're going to bring back to a different form the annual pass. Right. Now it's going to be a membership something or whatever, but that's not still very clear what exactly that means.
Well, but unless not this, really
this,
sure.
If this literally just came out, then I haven't seen it. So I don't know about being cheaper because they really have to make 2020 back. They have to make that money back. So I don't think they're offering it. From what I understand,
so let's say I get tickets, whatever, I'm gonna go. What is the deal? Why should I go to Disneyland? Why should I spend all this money? Because we know that it becomes
like how we have to convince you.
I want you to convince me.
On Disneyland suddenly. Okay,
I mean, if you do, that's good.
Well, I mean, Oscar, I don't know about convincing you. You should definitely Disneyland and California Adventures are a different vibe.
Okay.
But if you've been a lot of, and you hear this a lot of people that come from Florida, when they go to Disneyland, they're like, wait, that's it? This is tiny.
Yeah.
They can't reconcile the size of the castle, which I understand because if you're used to seeing the castle in Orlando and then you come out here, it can be a little weird and trippy because you always, when you go to Disneyland and you go to Disney World, you always go in through Main Street, USA.
Right.
That hasn't changed. But then as soon as you see the castle at the end of
it. So, Carlos, you've been to both, huh?
What?
You've been to Disneyland and Disney World?
Of course, dude.
Wow. So you're the big Disney. Out of the three of us, you are the Disney freak.
Yeah, but I'm not like, I'm not going to get married in Disney. You know what I mean? Like, I... Does that make sense?
Wait. Hold on. We gotta bring that back. Because getting married in Disney is a possibility. Can people get married
there? Yeah, people get married. Just at Islands of Adventure, which is not Disney, but there was literally a couple getting married in the bridge overlooking the Harry Potter castle.
No, I hate it.
We're all walking by it. Like, there's a lady, there's like an officiator. They were doing the whole damn... a ceremony and people were just like walking by like eating elephant corn.
No. Oh my God. Jordan is pulling it out. I'm sorry. Jennifer, none of these pictures would ever convince Jordan, me. And they're like, like this one is, that one's beautiful. Jordan is pulling up pictures. Again, people Google getting married in Disneyland and there's some beautiful pictures, pero déjame decirte que you cannot pay me enough to get married in Disneyland.
No, considering you've only been there 4 times, that makes sense. That tracks.
Right, and also never been to Disneyland. But listen, we're not here to yuck anyone's yum at all.
Yeah, fair.
If you're into getting married at Disneyland, go ahead. Like, more power to you.
Yes, please,
you know what
please.
I mean?
More power. I'm sorry. I'm like, I don't mean to sound mean. It's just
But I will say, Ryza does touch on a very sensitive subject. Mm-hmm. Which is the idea that there are, especially in California, the Disney adults.
Yeah, Disney adults.
Because we know them.
Yeah.
We know them. They exist. And it's a very real thing. I'm from New York. So moving to LA, one of the biggest sort of shocks to my system was finding out that there were so many adults really, really invested in Disneyland. And I get it because it's very close. A lot of theme park people. And to me, I was shook because I was under the misconception that Disney was for children. Literally, as a cynical New Yorker, was very much like, oh, interesting that like adults with
nobody ever moves away from Disneyland.
Right. Yeah. And I've also never been. I've never been to Disneyland or Disney World. I'm not a theme park person, really. Unless it's like a haunted
house experience. About Disney, but you've never been to the theme park?
Well, I mean, the reason why I know a lot about Disney, I mean, I host a podcast called Inside the Disney Vault. And we, the point of that podcast is we watch every single Disney animated movie in chronological order. And the reason is because when I moved here, I've only seen 2-3 animated Disney movies because I wasn't raised on the Disney stuff.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like I totally missed Disney thing. Yeah. Like I just didn't have that. And when I moved here, I was so surprised by how much of a cultural thing it was to be a Disney adult. And I just didn't get it. So my friend Claire Logren, who was also a co-host on the podcast, took me to Disneyland to be like, oh my gosh, no, you should check it out. And I went to Disneyland. And when I tell you, I was fully on board with the magic. I was like, yo, this place is actually magical. Like, there is something here that, I'm telling you, I am cynical.
From a jaded New Yorker.
Surprising literally anyone who listens to this podcast. I'm a cynical person, right? So I go there and I'm like,
I believe.
Whoa, this is weird. But a lot of the references I didn't really get. Oh, I'm going to watch every single one to see if that changes. And listen, I wouldn't call myself a Disney adult. I don't think I can hold that cred. I'm not as intensely into Disney. Just because I host a podcast about Disney doesn't make me a Disney adult. Specifically, a Disney gay. That is, I don't identify with being a Disney gay in that regard. I don't have Mickey ears.
That's also a thing.
That's a tribe. Disney, that's its own separate tribe. I mean, that's a totally different episode. Maybe for a different podcast.
There is a tribe I'm into, but I'll let you know after you continue.
Okay. Yeah.
Remind me.
But I would say Ryza, you know, I will say that for someone who, I don't know how much into Disney you are in terms of like the movies and stuff like that, but I think you'll find pockets of the park that you'll like fall in love with and you'll be really charmed by, aside from the food.
Like, you know? What? Like, can you tell me? Because, here's another thing that I'm going to tell you guys that gives me like, which I know sounds crazy coming from me who like works out so fucking much. Mm-hmm. There's so much walking. Like, oh just so God, much right walking. So. Like, my knees. But here's the thing. Like, my knees.
You get your
knees,
steps in, though.
Sí, pero me. Here's the thing. I could work out for 2 hours, and it's, like, whatever. But, like, mi rodilla caminando por dos horas.
You get it. Diferente. Braces.
Ryza can push tires across the room, but walking is a different story.
I could pick basketball pickup game for, like, 4 or 5. I'd happily out in the sun, throw myself on the floor, have scrapes, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I walking for that many hours, like for real, like I get home and my knees are like, I literally have like a limp, like from how much it hurts because they're terrible. But anyways, I'm like, that's also like a personal issue.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Fair. That's very fair. That's very, very
so
fair.
So what you do is when you get in line, you just like get
on someone's
sit
back.
Sit on the la barandita.
Oh, yes. That's me. That's yes. me. But I get in trouble all the time when I do that with whoever I'm with. Like literally right. every parent or like sibling has been like, get off. Qué pena. Qué falta de respeto. And I'm like, but I'm tired.
Yeah.
But anyways,
yeah, I think
yes.
that's a big thing too. Like, yeah, the misconception is that there's a lot of walking at Disneyland. And yes, that's true. But honestly, there's more waiting than walking.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's just, you're going to be on your legs a lot. Because those
Which
lines.
Hurts more.
Yeah, exactly.
There's more standing. There's more standing than walking.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Yes. Exactly. Yeah. I would say a big pro tip is to get those fast passes right away. You got to plan the trip. You can't just go into Disneyland being like, ooh, I'm about to be, you know what I mean? Get those tickets to Space Mountain right away. Okay. That's
why it's
thing.
Important to have somebody godmother. I was saying this earlier. Yeah. It's like when you go to Coachella or some of these places, like it's good when if you haven't been there before, to somebody just kind of, because that's what happened to me. Like I like Oscar, or completely opposite of Oscar, I grew up like in Puerto Rico. We would go almost every summer when I was little. So at like, least my first 10 years of life, I probably went to Disney like 6 times. It was a thing that Puerto Ricans were like, yep, this is it. And so like we ate it, you know, lock, stock, and barrel. So I grew up with that. So I do have, like, now it's really interesting going to YouTube, and there's so many YouTube channels devoted to, like, old school rides, and it's amazing to watch back and be like, yeah, I was there, to actually know that I was a part of that history.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing. And that there are people, I think it's more like the history of it is more interesting than the actual culture of it, which I think is distant from the Disney adult. In my mind, it's still connected to the same. It's like nostalgic. It's still like what's connected to like what you were growing up with. But coming out here, I always say this, like the fact that I'm 50 minutes away from Universal Studios and I'm 45 minutes away from Disney, my 8-year-old self would shit his pants. And he has. So what am I not gonna, like I did at least 4 years in a row where I got the annual pass. Cause you know, when I started work, I was like, this is literally the thing that.
That's what I was going to say. You can also afford it. Yeah, you can afford it to do it,
too.
You're
a big theme park
person,
right, Carlos?
Yeah. Yeah, man. And at first I thought, here's the thing. When I got the pass the first time, I was like, am I really going to, this is going to be a waste of money or like going more than once a year? But you get in a groove because it's not about, the thing, the difference is that when you go once a year, once every other, that day has to be it. You're going in and it has to be the whole thing. But when you're going once or once a month and once every couple months or whatever, or you're just like hanging out, it's just like to chill, like just to there's, and also when you go with your family, and also there's a thing when you're little and your parents are the ones that are in charge. And there's just like, we gotta squeeze the month. Like there's that vibe kind of goes away. And I was actually able to enjoy every time that I went, and I still would have a good time. Like it's still connected to nostalgia, but it's also like a good time for me. And if you enjoy it, then that's good. So I did that before it got super expensive. Cause I remember, I think it was in 2015 or 2016 where it jumped from like $500 to like $1,000. Like the biggest pass, I think the most expensive pass before it changed, it was like $800. And then it just jumped to like $1,200. And then it was like, from then on, it just started to get worse and worse. So,
What is like, okay, so like, let me ask a question. What would you each say are your top, and I know this is going to be hard because again, there's like so many fucking amazing things.
It's not going
to
be hard.
Top 3 things you have to go and do, see, ride, or eat, like all together, like don't give me 3 food and 3 rides. Like,
that I personally do, or that you have to,
that rides should do.
That you, if like you're telling me, que yo, mira, yo nunca he ido, like what would you be like, Riza, bro, you have to, whatever the fuck you do, like make sure you do this.
Yeah.
Whatever. What are
Well, they? I think you, I mean, your mileage may vary with the Marvel stuff, but that's brand new. So Avengers Campus just came out. I haven't seen it yet because I didn't even get to go to Disney in Florida. So I haven't been on it. I haven't seen the Avengers Campus, which we'll never see in Florida because of their deal with Universal.
That's they won't. Yeah.
East of the Mississippi.
Yeah.
So you can only find it here. But I was also going to say before we move on to that that now it's been easier to plan a day because easier in a way that they've commodified it. Obviously, before you used to have to get like a fast pass. Uh-huh. And you can only get a certain amount of fast passes per hour. Right. But now you pay, I think, like at $10 extra. I don't know if that went up. And then you do it all through your app. So you start to get the fast passes through. So it's technically a lot easier. Like if you're in a big party and you put everybody under one thing, it's made it a little bit easier for you to plan the things ahead of time. So if you have a little bit of knowledge on where you want to go and what you want to do, or kind of, it's different because every day is different. People will want to go to certain rides more than others. And that's why you kind of have to be kind of flexible as to what you're trying to get to the best things. But you're also like, well, we can wait this out, go somewhere else or hit the thing or whatever. It's kind of like a game. It's kind of like a strategic way to kind of get the best out of the day without stress.
I feel like I've heard, I mean, again, this is like back in the day, but like, I feel like I've heard people like even be like, okay, like we mapped it out. And like, all, like that just feels like so much work. Like when I go to Disney, I don't know if like, I want to like be like following a map and an ROS, even though you guys know I love a good ROS, but like, I feel like that makes it business. So again, top three things you say, Avengers. What's your other two?
Campus, cause it's brand new. I personally, I think when you're talking about the two parks, I think we should split it between Disney and California Adventures.
Okay, all right.
Because you could do both, but it's very ambitious when you don't, if you've never been there.
I don't want to do both the first time.
I mean, they're tiny enough that you could.
I should?
Yeah.
They're not huge.
Like, they're together, they're like...
Listen, it's not a big park is the thing. Disneyland isn't as huge as you think it is.
Yeah.
But it's cool.
I've been to downtown Disney, but I just drank.
That's not the park, Risa.
You know, Risa likes the party.
I think it just depends on, I think the rides are, that's why I think they're subjective. Like for me, like if I go to Disney, California.
But tell me what, again, do it like if it was like, not even just Risa, like anybody, what are the three things you got to do?
Okay, so.
What are your faves?
I would say the number one thing to do for Risa is I feel like Risa would be into the Incredicoaster 100%. I don't know if you're like a big roller coaster person, but I feel like you would be so down to do the
Incredicoaster. I used to be, and then I got a little like anxious, but then I'm also kind of like, if I go with someone that I trust, I'll be okay, but I would not just...
It's not terrible. It's not Six Flags.
Yeah, it's Six Flags.
That's the cool thing about Disney.
I did Six Flags Superman, so I guess I could do the other ones, right?
Yeah, I can do the Incredicoaster.
Okay. That's not scary. I don't know.
No. I mean, listen, I don't do roller coasters. I'm scared of heights. I don't do drops at all. No. That's why Splash Mountain is my worst enemy.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like it. Ooh. And also it's problematic. Why the fuck is it named after Song of the South? But that's being changed.
Yes. Thankfully. Yes. Thank you.
But I think like I've been on the Incredicoaster once and I'm a big baby. And I was like, oh, this one's fine. This one's good. But I think for you, Risa, I think you'd really, really enjoy the Incredicoaster.
Okay.
I would say number two, when it comes to food, I would say get a Dole Whip. Dole Whip is like a specific.
Dole Whip.
Dole Whip.
It's by the Tiki Room, and that's at Disneyland, and that's a classic that's been around since the beginning.
Okay,
it's a pineapple ice cream, basically.
Okay,
it's so yummy and it's so great, and it's like when you have a Dole Whip. Exactly, and if you have Dole Whip, I feel like that's your thing of being like, okay, I'm here, I'm at Disneyland.
I'm legit. Okay,
officially personally, I always get the one thing that I used to be fudge. It's always been a running joke whenever I used to go, I would go, where's the fudge? And I would just keep asking that very annoyingly in college. It was a phase. But truly, yeah, it was a stupid bit. You know, you create bits and then they keep going.
And then you're like, where's
the fudge was one of those bits where I would just walk around asking Disney members where the fudge was located. Anyway, that's a different story. But I love me some caramel apples. Not the caramel, but the ones that are, there's one specific with like white chocolate. Or whatever.
Oh, there used to be.
It was the snowman from
Olaf.
There's one specific one, and there was one. There's like a Disney one with like it's got graham cracker. It's a white chocolate. It's delicious.
It sounds.
And I always wait till the end of the night because I just like,
I
get all my steps in and then I have the candy apple.
Yeah. And then you have all your steps to walk back to your fucking car. That sounds, I feel like it's like 19 hours until you get back there.
You'll be fine.
Oh my gosh.
The last thing that I would say, and I would, I mean, this is definitely for you, Raisa, as your first time, is you have to go to City Hall. As it's like the first thing you do when you enter.
When you get
and say that you are a first timer at Disneyland.
Ah, so you get
and they give you a pin.
Oh,
that says
yeah.
that it's your first time. And then people at the park will say, oh my God, hi, welcome. And it's like this nice little vibe. And I feel like you would have a blast having that.
Also, when it's your birthday, you can get a birthday pin and people will say happy birthday to you.
Right.
Because that's part of the culture. Not just the employees, but people that go to the parks a lot. They'll like,
exactly. Yeah. Strangers will be. That's what I, when I've been at Disneyland, I always up. Like if I see the pin, I will definitely always be like, oh, hi, welcome. You know, like it's and
I
it's
like
fun.
That. Oh, that is sweet. Okay, so I mean, again, I do want to go. I have wanted to go. I've wanted to go with my boyfriend for like ever, but then pandemic happened. No, but I told you guys I would love to do an SAP one.
Yeah.
Listen, I've been a third wheel my whole life almost. So like, it's about time somebody's my third wheel. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But yeah, okay. So now I'm gonna re-listen to this episode.
Also, we could ask our listening audience if they have more tips. They can definitely hit us up.
Yes,
sure a lot of people listening have.
Tricks
of the trade.
I'll also add that for me, my favorite Disney ride ever is the Haunted Mansion. But I feel like that to me is like the epitome of the magic at Disneyland. I mean, when I went to the Haunted Mansion, that's when I was like really fell in love with the park. Yeah. And also the Pirates of the Caribbean ride.
But those are the costumes. So the ones
freaking cool. I know. Yeah. And it's like, please don't change them. Like, let's keep these dark rides. Like they're so great. I mean, they added the Johnny Depp animatronic in Pirates of the Caribbean, and it is a little eye-rolly, but after you've seen it,
it hasn't aged well.
It's so weird. It's like, oh God, really? Okay.
But my favorite part of the Pirates of the Caribbean is with their Spanish. The only Spanish that you can hear is when you're after, spoiler alert, after the ships are, you get to the part where they're looking for him, and they have a guy that they're trying to get him to speak, and then the wife is in the window. He goes, "Don't do it, Carlos. Don't do it."
So of course you love it.
Yeah.
Don't be a chicken, Carlos. My God!
But this is the one in because it's a little bit different in Florida.
It's very
Florida. Okay.
But the one in Disneyland, they have, "Don't be a chicken, Carlos."
Oh my God. And it's your voiceover. Just admit it. It's you doing the voiceover.
Yeah, it's
me. Yeah, it's you, the real one.
I booked it in 1963.
There you did. Yes, he did. Okay, dale, perfect. So now I feel a little bit more like, okay, Raisa, you should go and you'll have a good time. I just feel like I have to have like my hat, my sunscreen, like some comfortable walking shoes.
Yeah, you got to get some good support on your feet for your knees for sure.
Yeah.
Oh my
yeah.
God, and then, I saw a woman at Disneyland
with high heels on
and a dress. And I was like, you know what? You look actually stunning. You like, you are
beautiful. Was it a dapper day?
No, it wasn't. No, not at all. It was like literally like a hot ass woman, like really sexy, wearing like clubbing outfit to Disneyland during the day. And I was like, woo, okay. You are on a very specific adventure today. Props to you, but damn, you doing it difficult today.
She put in the work. Mira, good for her. Mm-hmm. You're right. That will never, ever, ever, ever be me. Mark my words. Like, just so you know.
Good. And you're prepared.
No, thank you.
And you are prepared to go to Disneyland.
Perfect. And last question before we go, listen, we got to go drink a little cafecito, but I want to know, do they let you drink in the Disneyland here?
California Adventures.
California? Yeah. Okay. So liquor there, yes. Okay,
yes,
good.
You can buy liquor there.
Dale, mira, also listeners, let me know what's the hot tips on sneaking in your liquor to Disneyland. How about that?
Ooh.
Slurp, slurp, slurpity, cafecito break. Here we go.
Okay, so Rice is going to have a spiked cafecito.
Yes.
Irish cafecito. Irish cubano.
Yeah, marry that.
Irish cortadito.
Uh-huh, I'll take it. Dale, we'll be right back.
Dale.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
And slurpity, slurp, slurp, slurp. We are back from our cafecito break. And joining us today on the podcast, oh my God, an amazing guest. This person is a character on the animated show Duncanville on Fox. They star. They're one of the leads in the movie Golden Arm with Mary Holland. And they're a co-host on A Funny Feeling on HeadGum, and We Love Trash on Patreon. It's the love of my life. Betsy Sidera, oh my God!
Betsy! Oscar, what a great intro.
My gosh. Well,
it's so wonderful seeing you all.
I know. We miss you.
I miss y'all so much.
It's like forever since we've seen each other all like in person, right?
Yeah.
And just walking casually around.
Yeah. Right? Just UCB running into each other. Oh, man.
Are you in the show too? Okay. Oh.
All right. Okay, cool. What is the show we're doing? What are we? You have a costume for it?
All
right. Okay, so the thing is, we are all friends with you. So like, I feel like I've had so many good conversations with you, but listen, it's a podcast and I have questions that I probably wouldn't even ask you if we're like, you know, having a drink at a bar.
The podcast gives her permission to ask questions she wouldn't otherwise.
Whoa. Yeah.
So you know this because I've told you this, because I had you do a two-man show with, or a two-person whatever show at the Sanctum on my birthday, like a while back.
It was so fun.
And it was, the thing is that you are like one of the first people I saw do improv, and like you, Lauren Lapkus, Marcy, Nicole, like Eugene, Joe Wengert, like I feel like those are like some of like the biggest comedy like inspos for me when I was starting. And like I you all have very different styles, but there's just something about you on stage that like I could not ever take my eyes off. Like, even when you are in the back, I say this about a mutual friend, Anessa, that we also have. I'm like, it's just something like watching her doing sketch, like in the, like, in the back line, I'm like, I want to stare at her. Just like you in the back line, I still want to stare at you and see, like, what is her brain
when
thinking?
When is she coming back
when you know what I mean? And so, I wanted to first say that. And then
thank you. That's so follow. Nice.
Of course. I'm like, I know I've told you this before, but I wanted to, like, I've brought you up in the podcast also, and others. Like,
we've talked about you, okay? Behind your back, all right? It's happened.
Yeah. You're no stranger. Your name is no stranger to this podcast.
No.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So Darryl is the S in SAP.
I knew it.
I got you in there somewhere. So I guess what I'm saying is, like, what inspired you to just fucking, like, go out, like, come out here and just fucking do improv and go so hard how I've always seen you go so hard and not give a damn fuck about what anybody thinks, because I love that about you. And it's just like, this is me and you're going to fucking love it. And every time everybody walks out,
you've never
like,
not gone hard. I don't think I've ever seen, I don't think anybody's like, ever I've seen you not go hard.
Like I've never seen you do like a lazy improv show to me where I'm like, they're phoning it in and they're still killing it. No, like I never feel that. So,
oh my gosh, that's so nice.
It's true.
I mean, it's just, we'll get more into it, but it's just so fun. I don't know how else to approach, you know, where it is. Like, isn't this fun? Isn't it fun? I get to just scream a bunch and it's like, okay.
It's allowed.
Say crazy shit and figure out a way to like prove that we can do this. And it's like, yeah, justify the fuck out of this. Yeah. Okay.
Right. And what? Like, get to kind of be a cartoon, you know, where it is like, isn't this fun that we could immediately cut to being in space if we want? I don't
know.
Yeah. Like, I just, and I feel like, I mean, I've talked about this a bunch, but like, Chris Farley was a big influence. Lucille Ball. Mm. And once again, cartoons were gigantic in my life. And I feel they all go so big.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I've always liked that. And I've always liked being like that, where it's like, isn't it more fun to just be goofy and not give a shit?
But, yes. Yeah. I will say, I love, like, everything Ryza said, I agree with. You have this ability, I think, not only just broad and cartoonish and super, super fun, but it's super, super smart at the same time. Like, I think, I was going to say the UCB style where it's like game and all that. But it is truly, it's like as broad and cartoonish as funny.
The structure to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're truly at the top of your intelligence at the same time, which is such a joy to watch. And I think you're a very unique performer that way. We all love you. My goodness. We're going to take turns.
This is a positive intervention. This is truly.
This is your life.
Wonderful.
I do want to say, I don't think we've gushed this much with any other guest ever in the history of the podcast.
No, because, you know, like, I know, like, it's just one of, like, when I was first starting, like, I used to, and I told you this, I interned during Bangarang on Friday nights. And, like, Bangarang was, like, before even interning, was my favorite, like, improv team to watch at the time. And so, like, when they told me Friday night, everybody was like, oh my God, party girl, Ryza, you always have a party. How are you going to intern on Fridays? I'm like, I don't know. I was like, I get to watch JV and Bangarang on a night and make credits. Great.
Ooh, right.
Like, it was like, that's it was not party. On brand, that's but here party. I was. Yeah. So Chris, so those were all like inspos for you. Oops, sorry, my mic just plugged out. That's my bad. So those were all inspos for you. And so what made you take the leap to come to LA and start doing Upper Citizens Brigade?
Well, because I was obsessed with Saturday Night Live, you know, and the like towards the end of high school and then all of college, I was like, how do I do that? Mm-hmm. I don't know anything. Like, I had never done improv. You know, I've, of course, like, I did theater constantly growing up. I was constantly doing plays and musicals and stuff. But I had never done just straight up, like, without it being an exercise, like, just straight up an improv show and stuff.
As a performance, not as an exercise.
Right. Like, I didn't know that was even really a thing until I went to Amsterdam when I was 16. Boom and we saw Boom Chicago.
Yeah. You went to Amsterdam when you were 16?
Yeah, me and my dad and one of my sisters.
What?
But you went to see it, not to perform in it. You went to watch it. No, I
went to watch it.
Yeah.
And I was like, I didn't know this is a thing. I had no clue. And so, and then in college, Second City came to my college. And once again, I was like, wait, you can do this. Holy
There's
shit.
There's a history of all this. Never known about.
Yeah. And so I started like just doing, looking at whatever I could to be like, how do you do Second City and SNL? Like, what do you do? And so, like, my whole junior and senior year of college, I was just, like, reading books on improv, having no clue what it meant. Like, they would talk about, like, a group game, and I was just kind of like, oh, so do they, like, I guess, like, kind of create a game and then do it in front of, which you do, but I thought they like wrote down the rules and like were like, okay, now we know the rules of the I don't know. I just didn't know anything. And then it was just like, oh, okay, so what you have to do is you have to go to Second City or IO or UCB, which was just getting kind of popping up. Here in LA.
2006.
In New York. I remember hearing about New York a long time when I was like visiting my sister or something. I was like, what is it? Okay. that was kind of the drive, was just like, how do you get on SNL?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, great. Like, because I also thought SNL was the only.
Right. Step for a long time, it really was.
For comedy. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Where I was like, what? But you have to do SNL to get a sitcom or whatever. You know, I was very much like that. And then once I moved here and started, of course, just immersing myself in this world, I was like, oh, I didn't know you could create your own television show.
Yeah, like that.
So yeah,
but they just handed them down.
And speaking of shows and movies, TV and movies, you are the lead, one of the co-leads, right, in a movie. Can you talk to us about it? Tell us the name. Give us the key.
What a segue. That's a good segue.
A lot of amazing UCB people involved as well, which is another that, but because it's like what you're talking about, like you get to create your own thing and we get to see our friend groups create shit and fucking kill it. And like, we get to see them on like, you know, sell shows to HBO Max and like Hulu and Netflix and movies. And we're like, oh my God, like I just did improv with her like last week. You know what I mean? And it's a really cool, positive feeling to see how like, there is a lot of negativity that has come from like these like, you know, culty like comedy theaters.
But that'll happen with anything with and everything anything, in this world.
Right. Just, you know, there's a, it's culty at CrossFit. It's culty at, you know, like when there's a group of women knitting, maybe. I don't know.
That's very, very culty. You know what they're knitting.
So catty.
Yeah.
Satan loves knitting.
I was thinking of what is like the opposite of CrossFit and I don't know why I went to knitting. I don't know.
No, it's but it is like that, like, this thing that people want, like, I'm sure there are ladies who are like, I want in on that knitting circle.
Yeah,
I can't get in? Ooh, then they're weird. Like, I remember growing up, I'm sure I'll get to Golden Arm in a second.
Golden Arm, thank you.
But seeing, like, once again, like, Adam Sandler, who was a giant inspiration to me, too, of just being like, whoa, he constantly has his friends in movies all the time. Like, whoa, Steve Buscemi's also in Big Daddy, you know?
I respect that so much.
And it blew my mind being like, how do they get to do that? And then once again, the more and more of like, oh yeah, that's the dream is to like sell something where I can just work with all of my friends the whole time, which happened with Golden Arm segue,
Correct.
Yes. Yes. That is, it's called Golden Arm, and it's a buddy comedy, like road trip sports movie, which is like all of my favorite things.
Hell yeah.
Starring Mary Holland and myself, and we play two best friends. And I pretty much trick her into joining a ladies' arm wrestling league. It started out to be like to get to my enemy, but in the end, it's like, oh, it really helped Mary Holland's character too. Oh. So it's got heart.
Yeah,
it's got jokes. Where,
had you ever like arm wrestled? Like, were you like? Because I know like that like for sure was like a thing. I remember like at one point in Miami, like where the boys like would always be like, "Come on, come on!" And like, oh, like if the girl beats you, like whatever that kind. So I was always like competitive and would want to beat them, but I was like, I had no upper body strength at any age.
Right. Me neither. I don't think I've ever once been able to do a pull up. Because remember when you had to do like the presidential thing?
Yeah.
I've never stressful. Once been able to.
Oh, yeah. That V reach was the one for me. I don't know about you. Like the V reach.
V reach? What is that?
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. So in the presidential test, you have to do a V reach where you put your feet against these things that look like and it stops your feet, and then it's how far you go, like how like low you can bend, bro. And I am so inflexible that was the only thing that would ever keep me from not getting on the presidential list because I was like super athletic. Yeah. But my coach Tratz, my Boricua, I love her. Like she's the best. She would just be like, she would be yelling at me like super like Spanish Puerto Rican style, like, come on, just go, like, go, dale, pues, ponte, water. And, like, she would just, like, get me so hyped that I'd just be like, and just go. And somehow I would barely make it. But I knew.
Whoa. This is crazy.
And it's hard because it's, like, I remember that. It's so funny. I haven't thought about that test in forever
until
now.
It's hard, dude. Yeah. I was athletic, too, and good at sports. But that shit, I was like, what?
Yeah.
I just hang here for what are we doing? That doesn't show strength.
How does that make me a good president?
Yeah, why? How does it make you a good president?
How does it? I would arm wrestle, of course, growing up and stuff, but never, ever, like, when this movie started to really be like, oh, it's going to happen, I started watching videos and stuff of like professional arm wrestlers.
To get the vibe.
And, yeah, to get the vibe. And I was like, holy shit, this is intense. And then Dot Marie Jones is in the movie. Excuse me. And she was a professional. Like, she went to Moscow in the 80s arm wrestle.
Oh, my God.
Wild.
Feels like...
Whoa.
Sylvester Stallone, like, totally.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, one time, she has this wild story. She was like, it was at Vegas. It was like a Vegas tournament or whatever. And she was like in a hold with a woman. And somehow like their hand slipped and pulled her own arm and broke her own nose. Because she was like pulling so hard. And like she kept being like, let's just go. Just gushing blood. And they're like, please. Go clean yourself up. We can't have
this. No, this is part of it.
Wild.
She rules. And she, like, one of the writers, Anne Marie, she had done a women's arm wrestling league for charity.
Mm-hmm.
Where she was like, it was, and that was, she was blown away with, like, oh, it was a lot of just, like, teachers and doctors and just people like women who had never really like had a group of friends like this and felt where it was like, oh, I get to be this character. I get to like lose my mind once a month with a bunch of friends.
That's
which is such a cool world too, to see of like a kindergarten teacher who can just annihilate people. Like, that's so rad.
That's hot. That's hot. If I was on a date with her and she said that, or like it's like a, you know, you meet, oh, I'm a kindergarten teacher, and then all of a sudden, like, oh, like what are things you, and then she said that, and then like she also was like went, I'm like, okay, all
it's
right,
like,
all right,
like
okay.
A weekend warrior, but instead of bikes it's
yes, I love those surprises though. That is so true how you just explained. I love that. That's such a fun surprise.
Yeah, it's just it's a really cool world. That was really fun to learn about and hopefully represent, kind of, you know.
yeah no, for sure. I'm sure there's people that do it and like watch the movie, you're like, oh, hell yeah, cool. Like, we don't get to see it. And especially with like women, again, like it's usually men doing it on like, you know, our little boys doing it or whatever. So it's nice how you're saying it, that like, you know, Mary Holland. And super fun.
Yeah, that's the other cool thing I love about the movie is that it just felt such like a community project with everybody being on board. It has a lot of people that we love. Mayor Holland, Eugene Cordero, Ron Funches, who we had on the podcast. Yeah. Like, this is like a collection of like the most talented people working together. How was the vibe offset? Was there like a sense of that camaraderie also taking place?
Party time.
It was 100%.
We were in Oklahoma City for a month.
What?
Wow.
And so we would shoot Monday through Friday and then just like go do the most fun stuff on the weekends. Like, we went to, like, baseball games, found all these just fun restaurants and bars. And, like, they had, I think every Friday night there's a really great drag show that we would always, like, we would, because one of the places where we shot was, like, this incredible gay resort. Like, where it had
do you have to be gay to be able to stay at the resort?
I bet not.
They're like, prove it. How would that even work?
Well, Jeffy, get over here. I need your dick.
It sounds like, I mean, listen, the boys know that it sounds like exactly where I want to go for and hang out.
Same girl.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, Tony, should we go? Like, don't worry, we'll make sure that nobody thinks we're together as a couple.
Ruled. Because it had like a bunch of pools and a bunch of different clubs. And we went a couple of nights because we were like, I want to hang out here. It's awesome. Because they had like a country western bar one of the first weekends we were shooting at this place, I think was like Bear Weekend. And so like,
so many Bear themes. Week. So many themes.
Oh, so like God. At lunch, we'd be like at lunch and there would just be all of these just hot bears like dancing next to us as we're like waiting to get our lunch scooped onto a plate. And I was like, We have to come back tonight and see what's going on.
Yeah. Also, Oklahoma City is not the first place that I would think, oh, they'll have a gay resort.
Right. Exactly.
Like, right? Or am I wrong? Little, I don't know.
Like a whole little area with just a bunch of cool, like, queer spots.
Love that.
Where, like, right surrounding this gay resort.
Amazing.
It was really fun. Amazing. Oklahoma City rules.
Hell yeah.
Dope.
I was ready to be like, this is going to suck. Like, it'll be fun shooting the movie, but, like, what are we going to do?
Yeah, because you never know. Yeah.
You never know. And we had so much fun every single day. It was
fantastic summer camp.
It's
amazing.
It was exactly like summer camp. And there were nights where, even if we were, like, shooting the next day at, like, let's say our call time was noon or something, like,
oh, yeah,
we would find ourselves just staying up till like 5 in the morning. Hey, just talking, like, not partying, but just truly, like, talking and just becoming closer friends. It ruled. It was really special.
That.
Yeah.
Wow,
it was something that I didn't know could happen.
So when's the sequel?
Especially as an adult.
Yeah.
Oh, I know, we gotta do a little sequel.
Heck yeah.
Gotta do a
I'm
sequel.
Down.
Yeah. Betsy, I want to talk to you about your podcast because, listen, you're no stranger to podcasts, and you are a co-host with two of my favorite people. I mean, you have A Funny Feeling with Marcy Giroux, who we love,
bestie.
All of us love.
And I love her.
Yeah, and then you have We Love Trash with Mono Agapian, who, you
yes.
know, I love very much. So can you talk about both of those podcasts? What are they about? What do you talk about?
And well, also, 3 out of 4 of you have been on A Funny Feeling.
Yeah.
Carlos.
Yeah. Well, Carlos got stories, he would be great.
Let me check my mail.
He just talked about exorcism off the pod.
Shush.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm hitting you up, dude. Yeah. You're coming on.
Yeah.
Done.
Like, we'll make the connect for sure.
Ooh, I'm so excited to hear your stories.
But at the end of you talking about your podcast, you need to tell us who you like more, Mono or Marcy.
Gosh.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Wow. Yeah.
Right.
Mono.
Tell us, Betsy.
Mono.
Not
Marcy knows that. I lived with Mono for 10 years.
I'm dead. I'm just I love when I like I try to be controversial and then I'm like, they're not gonna answer, and she's like, no, Mono.
Marcy gets it. I love Marcy, but Mono and I have such a bond.
Yeah.
Aww, we have such a little bond.
Yeah. And Marcy's so blunt. I love that. Like, she'll be like, yeah, it's fine. I already knew it.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Like, I feel I think she would have been weirded out if I was like, I like Marcy more. She'd be like,
hey, what? Okay, I'm done.
So, A Funny Feeling with Marcy. We've been kind of slacking a lot during pandemic, but it's a podcast where we have our friends on and they tell us their paranormal experiences or like even urban legends, and just kind of getting the discussion of like, do you believe, what do you believe, stuff like that. And then over pandemic, we've been reading and listening to a bunch of listeners' stories, which is awesome and very fun too. But we're starting to get guests back.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, you've all been on it.
Yeah, it was very fun.
It's so fun.
It's so great.
And we've had so many people come on being like, I don't know if I have a story. And then we'll start talking.
Yeah.
And then it is like, oh, actually, yeah, I've been visited by an old hag a couple of times. And we're like, what do you think that was?
Yeah. We just spent, that happened with us. We're like, I don't remember what I was talking about. And then like, it was like 7 minutes left. And I like was like, yeah, this story, blah, blah, blah. And you were like, why didn't you lead with that? But you're right. Because you don't, like, I don't know. Like, I think sometimes I also try not to think about these things that I think about because it then freaks me out sometimes.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Which I fully understand. Yeah. Like, and I've had moments of just being like, nothing has ever happened to me. And then recently we had Santina on. I don't think it's out yet, but and she mentioned something of like the idea of visitations versus dreams. She was like, somebody once told me that if you are like seeing someone who has passed away in a dream, and in the dream you know they have passed away, then it's a visitation.
Oh. That happens to my dad.
Oh my God.
If you're seeing.
Same for the pod, Carlos.
Someone. Yeah, don't say a thing. No, we'll
talk about it.
But
take
if you're
back.
Seeing.
Strike.
If you're seeing someone and you don't, you're not like, oh, you've passed on, then it's a dream. And that clicked where I was like, oh, that's happened to me with a friend who, years and years and years ago when I was in middle school, who died. And I remember having a dream knowing he had died and him being like, everything's fine. Uh-huh. And I just thought it was a dream. I just thought, oh, he's just on my mind, whatever. Uh-huh. And then she said that and I was like, whoa, I've been visited.
Cool. And
Carlos,
people have
you were saying that happens.
Yeah, and actually we'll get into it. But my family also has like I have two older sisters. I have one sister who always dreams when somebody's about to pass, so they'll dream right before they pass.
Oh, yeah.
And my older sister dreams after they pass to let us know that everything's fine. And it happened with so many people in my family, including
too.
My dad, and including like relatives. I mean, it's pretty wild. So I don't necessarily, but I know that there's been a certain amount of times where he'll show up, be like, ah, and then I like hug the shit out of him.
Aww.
And my mom tells me that she dreams about my dad like maybe once or twice a month.
Wow.
Like it hasn't stopped and it's been almost 10 years.
Oh, this is another thing I've learned is that, it can be very nice.
Yeah.
And not just scary. Because I think before I started the podcast, I was like, everything is fucking scary. Yeah. Oh, my God. And then just hearing more and more people's experiences and stuff being like, oh, wait, that's really cool and comforting and really beautiful.
Yeah.
It's
I mean, there's still some freaky stuff that happens. You're like,
Carlos, save it for the podcast.
TBC.
Okay, so there's another thing I do want to talk about. I know, you know, that we all love butts. And you have some nice butts behind you on your Zoom background right now.
How do I say this? We all love butts.
Thank you, Ryza, for bringing this up. We were all.
I know. Like,
Inquiring minds need it to know.
It's something that doesn't get spoken about enough.
So, Betsy, what kind of butts do you have? A butt type that you like? Is there any butt?
You know what that always does make me very happy?
Tell me.
Is a long 80s butt.
A tall butt. Inessa, we mentioned her earlier. She has tall butt Tuesdays, and she'll post pictures of tall butts on her Instagram.
Tall butts? I didn't even know that had a name.
It's like longer than out. It's more
a lot of like 80s horror movies.
Just like a long crack? Like a long crack?
It's just like...
And I feel.
And what happened? They aged out of the. Like, nobody had stopped. Butts, like evolution after the 80s? It just
Went because
away?
I don't think. I'm going to give you what I think happened. Butts were not as in the 80s. And in the 90s, they came a little bit more back with like booty music, like Uncle Luke.
They got
and
back
Uncle
and Uncle
yeah,
Luke.
And that. Uh huh. But, no pun intended. Butts are huge right now. Like, the people that like. Come up to me. Like, I've had literally people come up to me and ask me where I got my butt done. And I'm like, oh, my God, my mom and my dad.
Oh, that's how I got doctors. I'd love to get their information.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm not the only one. I'm not trying to, like, even give myself a humble brag at all here. It's just, like, one of those things where I'm like, now butts are, like, the bigger.
Well, I think Jennifer Lopez paved the way late 90s. I think we could trace it back. Solidified.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I think that gave birth to the Kardashians. I don't want to give her all the credit, but I love her.
Well, no, but I mean, like, pop culturally, like mainstream.
Yeah,
the appreciation, I think, you know, obviously she's not the one, but I feel like there was a shift in the early 2000s when she came on.
And music videos were a big thing too. And like, what did you see in music videos? Latinas and like black women, like just shaking their booties, like, you know, or like Afro Latinas, you know, as well. You know what I mean? It's just like they were just shaking their booties and this
but,
women
man.
Watching them and be like, I want to look like that.
Yeah.
So thank you to my thick queens that brought that back in.
You know, it's funny because I've always, when I was little and I used to hear the phrase, does this make my butt look big? And it always confused me. I was like, isn't that what you want? Like, even as a young, like, whenever I got cable and I was in Puerto Rico and I would hear that phrase in movies or in shows, I'd be like,
yeah,
I'm so confused because it almost sounds like you don't want it to look big.
Well, I remember.
So cute.
Yeah.
Of course you want it to look big.
My 8-year old logic, like, what is going on?
Yeah. Carlitos at age 8 is like, I have a tight big booty. Why does nobody want to put it on?
Carlos was watching a lot of Sir Mix-a-Lot's Baby Got Back.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah. Reggaeton. Reggaeton was like coming up when I was.
Exactly.
That was all. Yeah.
But
music.
Actually, honestly, speaking of thick queens, you host another podcast.
I was going to say, I also love Mono's butt.
I mean, Mono has got
a great...
You host a podcast with Mono called We Love Trashed. Can you talk about that podcast?
Yes, I can. It's on Patreon. And we talk about Mono's butt a lot. I actually think I have brought it up a couple of times. You got a good one, dude.
Yeah. I've seen him in a dress in drag, and let me tell you,
solid.
top A quality.
Yeah, he's got a big quality. Old beautiful top butt.
Un pompi muy lindo. Un pompi muy lindo.
We got a butt connoisseur over here with Rez.
Listen. I like big butts and I cannot lie.
You should make that into a song.
I don't know if it'll work.
It feels catchy.
Yeah, that's right.
So you guys talk about trash people or what? I want to know.
Trash people.
Every week there's a raccoon that comes on and...
They're really great. We've gotten rabies a couple of times, but it's worth it. It's worth it. We truly just kind of, we love trashy stuff, food, music, movies, television, people, all of it. And we were just like, let's just kind of go nuts and just celebrate everything trashy. And we do we improvise a lot of like horror movies and Lifetime style movies because we love Lifetime movies. And we have a thing called like a boner bowl where where we just like kind of talk about either like fun horror movie people that we then think are like who like makes us the horniest or whatever. But we've done it also with like Keanu Reeves characters, stuff like that.
I'm here for all of this. All of it. This sounds like a great podcast. Why?
Yeah. Fun.
I mean, listen, people, please, Patreon.
Go to Patreon. We love trash. Yeah, we're doing a whole slasher summer. Where every episode is dedicated to slasher movies in some capacity with a lot of watch-alongs to weird, fun ones.
That's so fun.
Yeah. It's truly just us talking. Very fun.
It's a great insight to that friendship because, like, you both have, like, such a cool and very specific friendship, and it's, like, so fun to just listen along. To the both of you being absolutely bonkers.
Yes. You guys, you're so right, Oscar. It's fun. Like, I've spent some Thanksgivings with you and holiday stuff with you guys when I've been in. And it is so fun because, like, you think, oh, I'm going to do this thing when they're not my family. But, like, you guys, like, also, like, you act like literal siblings. Like, and, like, other, like, friends are like that, too. So then it's like, okay, yeah, this might feels be, like a friend's. Giving, but it does feel like we're with like a group of family. So that is.
Thank you. One time, one of our biggest fights we got in was about how Zach Morris sits. Because Mono was like, I always thought it was so hot when he would like grab his knees and cross his legs. And I was like, Zach Morris never did that. And he was like, yes, he did.
Position?
And it was in front of. People like it was at a party in our house in front of quite a few people that I didn't really know and that like I you know like people in the community but it's like I'm just kind of starting to get to know you but like to where we were And I was really pushing it. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, you have to prove to me he did this. What episode are you thinking of? Because I love Saved by the Bell. Sure. And I was like, I swear he has never sat like that. And Mom was like, yes, he did a lot. And I was like, I don't think. And I started to feel crazy. And oh, yeah. But
so, what was the verdict? So
much. Well, yeah. What was the...
You it was know, the Mandela effect, wasn't it? Okay.
I think maybe on Mano's part, he fucking plugged it in. Because I guarantee he did not sit like that a lot.
Zach's face into someone.
Oh my God, I love this. So funny.
Yeah, but yeah, so we love just talking about dumb shit with each other. And we're like, why not make that into a podcast?
Hell yeah. Hey, we love it. We love talking about dumb shit too.
It's the best.
Exactly. Why not do it on a podcast?
I prefer the dumb shit. I truly do.
I'd rather never
talk about anything but dumb shit.
Right. We talk a lot about that with the idea of watching, especially movies. Like, I would way rather watch the dumbest, awesome movies versus like fucking Oscar movies.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
And I'm talking about movies that star Oscar. Ha ha, gotcha. No. But like, give me like Acrimony any day was an Oscar movie, Schindler's List.
Oh my god,
that's a pretty tough one. But you know that vibe where it's like, I would way rather watch just fun sloppy stuff than
for sure.
A really good thing.
Yeah, it's a balance.
It's a
yeah.
It's a vibe.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, we love you so much, and we are so happy that we got to have you on the podcast. I want to make sure everybody follows you and falls in love with you as much as we all are in love with you, Betsy Solado. What are your handles? Anything else? Where can they watch the movie or the cartoon? Like plug it all.
Yeah, I mean, you can follow me on Instagram at Betsy Sodaro. That's all the social media I've got. You can watch Golden Arm. It's on, you can rent it or buy it on like iTunes or wherever you do that. It is coming to HBO Max soon.
Ooh. but I don't know when. Good. I have that.
But if you follow me, I'll scream at you when it's happening. And then Duncanville is on Fox Mondays, and then Hulu the next day. So check it out. It's a very fun cartoon.
Yeah, and all the podcast info as well is on her Instagram. So we'll tag her too, so that you can you know.
Yeah. Thank you.
And of course. And then everyone, you can follow us at Spanish Aquí Presents on IG, at Spanish Aquí on Twitter. You can follow me at Raisa Licea on Instagram and Twitter.
And you can follow me at, of course, it's Carlos on Instagram.
And you can follow me at Ozzy Mo on Instagram and Twitter.
You can follow me at bonerbowls.com.
Oh, that was the pool. Wait, you're the one who had that domain? I have it.
You want it?
Yes. We'll pay you $13,000 for it.
Sure.
Please.
Sure, I'll take it. I also have Bumpy's Lindas if you want that.
That's for Riza. That's for
Riza. Yeah.
Totally. Tell him for real.
At the Tony Roderick. If you've made it this far.
Yeah.
Betsy, thank you so much for being a guest on our pod. We love you so much.
I love y'all so much.
Besito.
Bye.
Dale. Spanish Aquí Presents is an Earwolf production executive produced by me, Raisa, Tony, Carlos, and Oscar. It's engineered by Jordan Duffy and produced by Anita Flores.
You can follow us on social media on Instagram at Spanish Aquí Presents and Spanish Aquí on Twitter.
Find our latest merch at potswag.com and especially look out for the Spanish Aquí Presents enamel pin set featuring all of our beautiful faces.
Yeah, and help us get the word out by telling a friend about the show today.
Make sure to rate and review Spanish Aquí Presents and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you listen.
Want more Spanish Aquí Presents? Find our full archive and ad-free episodes on Stitcher Premium. Use promo code SAP for a 1-month free trial at stitcher.com/premium.
Thank you.